voyager. The ship had crashed a long time ago. Francis had been stuck on the open ocean for what he thought was weeks. He couldn't exactly tell. He tried to count based on how many times the sun went down and back up again, but that was unreliable. The small rowboat once hosted a few of his shipmates that had survived the crash. Many of them were gone now. Francis had to turn to some pretty extreme methods in order to guarantee his own survival. However, if he ever made it back to land, he would simply say that those men had perished in the wreck. He did not consider himself a cannibal. He did what he had to do to get out, and he found his actions were justified. There was only one person left on the boat, a man by the name of Raymond Worthson. Francis knew very little about Raymond, knowing only that he had joined their exploration begrudgingly because he was quite weak, and those weren't the type of men who normally joined whaling trips, as it took a lot of strength to get the carcass of the whale onto the boat. As the two men stared at each other from opposite sides of the raft, there were unspoken words between them. If they didn't get rescued or find an island soon, one of them had to go. They never talked. Both knew it was best not to get too acquainted because it would make it harder when the time came. Francis looked at the massive expanse of the ocean. He thought about how deep it was. How many things were down there. Humans could never possibly know everything that's in the ocean. We study the sea so much, but we will never understand it truly. The silence was piercing. Water was making a gentle, almost inaudible splashing sound against the side of the wooden boat, but it seemed to be so loud in that moment. The hunger was getting worse, digging through their stomachs. They knew it was only a matter of time until dinner had to be served. Abruptly, Raymond broke the silence and started to yell. Francis was confused by this until he saw the massive ship in the distance. It looked to be a French design. Francis had a weird feeling of déjà vu. He felt like he had worked the crew of that ship before, but he also felt like he hadn't. He was born in France. His real name was François, but he changed it to the English variant after moving it to America. So maybe he saw it in the dock one time as a child. He joined Raymond in the yelling. Both were screaming in a mixture of French and English. The boat steered their way. Francis was amazed. For a second, he pinched himself to check to see if he was dead or in some vivid mirage, but it appeared normal. There were no words to describe how euphoric he was when the crew of the ship hoisted down a rope, encouraging the men to climb on it. Once upon the ship, the captain took a step forward, extending his palm. There was a tall man with very limber arms that were covered in sleeves despite the scorching heat. Taking a look around, Francis realized that the whole crew were dressed head to toe. It was strange, but he definitely wasn't going to question his one chance at being saved. "Gentlemen, welcome to the Madassian Mare. I know of your situation, as I was informed by my superiors to be on the lookout for you. We will dock in Port Authority in about 2 days. It's awful circumstances, but I do hope that your stay here is of top-notch quality. We only have one rule aboard. If someone suggests you do something, you do it. The crew now will take you below deck to show your quarters." When he spoke, his voice was smooth, clear, the kind that make you feel as if you needed to do what he said. Neither Raymond or Francis brought up any issue, despite the whole, if someone says something, you do it. It's kind of suspicious, but they were so enticed. They didn't really understand what was pulling them into the ship. Survival? Maybe. But it felt stronger. The crew led them down to their quarters, separating Francis and Raymond into different rooms. The rooms looked unused. Way too clean to be used on a ship crew. Francis was starting to become a bit wary. He kept hearing people in the hallways saying that they are planning for the great meal. His skepticism was enhancing, so he went to go discuss the situation with Raymond. As he went down the hallway, many people stopped him, encouraging him to follow them into their room for a bit of whiskey or a game of blackjack. The crew's eyes were all the same. Large, navy-colored irises with suspiciously dilated pupils. Francis had come to the conclusion that this was probably some sort of drug smuggling operation. He decided for his own safety to keep to himself and decline their offers. When he reached Raymond's room, he was met by a man he assumed was the first mate. He looked directly into Francis's eyes with the same silky voice of the captain. I suggest you don't go and see Mr. Wirthson right now. He's a bit off. The way his voice sounded convinced Francis that what he was saying was the truth, even though he could hear the screaming through the door. Sounds of flesh being ripped from bones. He sounded still alive, but Francis somehow couldn't compel himself to go inside the room. He was quick going back to his quarters. He really didn't want to think about what happened to Raymond. He knew what meat coming off of a human skeleton looked like. He could still remember the taste, like pork, but a little bit more fatty. He had vivid nightmares sometimes, and when he got back on land, that would be the only thing he could eat. He shuddered at the thought. Inside his room, Francis had made a decision. He had a feeling he was going to be the next one, dead. Suffer the same fate as many before him. He was going to jump overboard. He'd rather drown, water choking him and freezing the life out of his body. He whispered one last prayer and went up to the upper deck. The air did not smell like normal sea spray. It smelled like the metallic stench of blood. He ran up to the edge of the boat and pondered what would happen after he died, when he felt a scaly hand reach for his neck. The captain was there. He threw Francis back to the ground, pinning him and knocking him out for a brief second. When he opened his eyes again, the mirage of the boat was gone. Instead of a captain, he saw a half-fish, half-human, and it was sat on top of him. He knew what it was. A siren. It had long, matted gray hair with bits of flesh and blood entangled around it. He looked over to his left and saw the bones of Raymond Wirthson. The siren laughed at this. It spoke up and said, "You know, shipwrecks are the easiest place to find victims. A lot of them have already tasted the flesh of their own. I believe that it stains the soul. Good thing we sirens don't have one. As for you, Francis, you will suffer the same fate as your friend. But worse, I knew you were planning to kill him that day because you knew he was weak. I find killing another one of your own is the most unfixable crime. I will rip you apart slowly. However, I will use some of my abilities to keep you alive so you don't get the pleasure to die." The creature wasted no time biting into his leg. The teeth were sharp as it ripped off his muscles, pulling the Achilles tendon like a piece of taffy until it snapped. It went for his skull next, cracking it open and drinking from it. All he wanted was death. He knew he was never going to get such relief. It kept going, gnawing at every remaining bit of his untouched flesh. Francis had considered himself a voyager, a wanderer, determined to sail around the world until he could no longer do it. So he found it pretty ironic that he was now damned to a life of idleness as he was feasted upon, laying still until his bones turned to dust. That was this week's installment of the Cobweb Chronicles. I am your host, Molly, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you like my show, it would really help me out if you could give me a rating and a review. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you next time.